Well, for those saying that this goalless draw at home to Bristol City was the same as Burton, I can prove that it's not. A, I don't look like a Jedi, and B, there's loads of people here trying to take selfies and get pictures with Norwich City players, so that's lovely to see. Brian Gunn there, Angus Gunn too, of course, fresh from another clean sheet. And I guess we could probably split this into two parts, couldn't we? Because Norwich City defensively look rather a class act, has to be said. Because even though Bristol City had one or two good moments, generally Norwich were able to keep them out with relative ease. They looked well organised, disciplined. People probably felt there were hairy moments, but ultimately the players themselves probably knew what they were doing. And Marco Stiepermann was excellent, I thought, again. And you know, James Tasman was a little bit unlucky not to be involved from the start, and actually did well when he came on very late on. So a real cohesion, and I think Norwich have conceded one goal in five games, none in four in the league, I think, off the top of my head. So that's remarkable given the eight concessions in two games we had, obviously, before the international break. It was nice to chat to Angus Gunn about it, because he clearly feels pride in what the club are doing defensively. And it's a real fillip for the club that they've got that aura about them and that platform that they can build off. Great. The problem is, I'm speaking to one of the players as I was just walking out there, it seems that they've concentrated on that, and all of a sudden it's become so much more stodgy scoring goals. Now, to a degree, that's probably true. I'm not sure Norwich have been free scoring at any point this season. So there's an element of the fact that this is just coming home to roost in terms of them being better defensively, and it's quite small margins. But it doesn't take away the fact that Daniel Farke's side are struggling to not look predictable and are struggling to mix it up and create good enough chances to a degree. That said, they had two excellent chances today. Mario Vrančić hit the post. Marco Stiepermann had a glorious chance that he somehow scooped wide. I think even he can believe what he did, because he then kicked the poster very hard indeed. And Daniel Farke was saying that Cameron Jerome's goal that he put home wasn't offside from replays he'd seen. I'd have to see that again. But the thing is, away from home, they are getting a bit more space. Maybe not seeing it in the best circumstances. The Brentford Cup game, not in entirely a uniform and controlled test compared to these other ones. But when Norwich have a little bit more space away from home, they seem to be able to create better chances, like what they did against Sheffield United. But at home, it's difficult, because the opponents are going to be more likely to sit in. And Bristol City did that defensively brilliantly. They got so many men behind the ball so quickly, and then they countered when they could, away from when they then had good spells of possession, and Bristol City played really well and were really economical with the ball. So that made it a difficult test for Norwich. It's a great point for them, absolutely no doubt about it. But that lack of space, it's nothing new. Home teams have struggled at home to break sides down. Norwich have had that plenty themselves. But that is the situation that Norwich are in now, which hopefully might bode well, given they've got two away games coming up at Middlesbrough and Reading, two teams that are very good teams, but likewise they're unlikely to sit in on Norwich necessarily, because they'll be convinced that they can have the ball and manifest chances and goals without worrying about what Norwich do. So it'll be really interesting how those two games develop. And much like the Burton game, this draw will have its context from what happens over the next couple of games. But I think in this little run, we are going to experience whether this Norwich side really can kick on, or whether we are just going to have to get used to it being a bit up and down, bobbing around a mid-table, and maybe just curtailing the expectations to see how things look towards Christmas. So that might be the best thing to do. But we will see. The trip to Middlesbrough awaits, of course, Riverside on Tuesday night, and then up to across to Reading on Saturday, which I think is in front of the Sky TV cameras. And you'll be able to follow all the action at pinken.com. Myself, Paddy and Dave will be at all three games, so we'll see you then. But for this one, yeah, I don't think I've actually told you anything that happened in the match. It probably says it all, really, doesn't it? So it finished goalless, as you probably know. I'm here with Dave Freezer to catch up on your thoughts, Dave, after a second goalless draw. What do you reckon? What do you make of all that?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't as bad as Burton. That's probably the starting point, isn't it? That they did play quite well. They probably deserved to win. It, you know, it wasn't a superb performance by any stretch of the imagination. Daniel Farker a bit frustrated after the game, saying that he thinks Cameron Jerome's goal in the first half that was disallowed for offside should have stood. Said he'd seen it back on TV. I mean, from where I was sat in the press box, it looked offside, but you know, he's clearly seen it back and felt it should have stood. So they can probably feel a little bit hard done by, but that's 9 games unbeaten for Bristol City now, isn't it? So yeah. A point against them is a pretty decent result, really.
Yeah, they're an interesting side, Bristol City, because I think they've got strength, they could go long, they could mix it up as well. So there's a lot going on with them. Had Daniel Farker seen a replay from the analysts or something like that, different to the TV replay, is what I was wondering.
He just said from the TV. So yeah, he's obviously seen it back. And that was before he came in with the print boys. So, but yeah, Bristol, you know, Adam Flint and Nathan Baker at the back, they're two big lads, aren't they? And yeah, they did cause a bit of chaos in the Norwich box at times, but otherwise they really dominated Cameron Jerome today. That was a tough shift for him, and I think both teams will probably come away from that, although like you say, it is 2-0 in a row following the Burton one earlier this month, which is disappointing because, you know, the next Carrow Road game is not until middle of October, so it's quite a while to wait for another goal, isn't it? But I think both teams walk away reasonably satisfied.
Is it as straightforward as saying that Norwich have concentrated so much on their defending that now they're a little bit stodgy going forward, because they haven't really been free flowing up front for most of the season?
I mean, Nelson Oliveira's absence coming at the same time hasn't helped at all, obviously, has it? I mean, Cam didn't really get a great deal of chances. I mean, he did turn that one that was disallowed into the goal. It was a nice sort of chipped cross into the box from Harrison Reed, so that was unfortunate for him because he would have needed that sort of confidence boost. He's probably going to have to face another tough shift at Middlesbrough on Tuesday night now, isn't he? So perhaps, I mean, Josh Murphy's not really firing, as he had another match where things just weren't quite coming off for him. Marley Watkins certainly first half didn't really look at it out wide. Will Scott wasn't brilliant when he came on either, but he did offer a bit more of a threat. He was direct and tried to get at them, but Bristol looked very drilled. They were stubborn. So even Wes, when he came on, to be honest, it didn't look like he was going to unlock things. So I think, Mr. Bailey, you did say midway through the first half, this has got 0-0 written all over it. So I think it was one of those games, wasn't it?
I think they just all cancelled each other out in the end. A little injury for Wes. I don't know what Daniel Farker said on it, but it sounds like Wes is going to have a little scan, precautionary scan on his knee tomorrow.
Yeah, he said there's a bit of pain in his knees, but initially after the game, Wes had said that he was okay. It was just sort of a bang. Mario Rančić limped off as well. He said basically he got a knock in the first half,
which I think was from that tackle. It was a sort of a block tackle in the area from a slightly late ball. That was quite early on, actually.
Yeah, and he said he played for about 30 minutes basically without being able to move fully. So hopefully not nothing major, but again, that's something they're going to have to assess ahead of a game up at Middlesbrough on Tuesday, and a quick turnaround.
Yeah, which is going to be it's obviously going to be a tough game, isn't it? And I guess we'll learn a bit more from them. I don't know if they're maybe enjoying playing away from home a little bit more at the moment, but
possibly. I mean, Yannick Wildskut seems to be, doesn't he? He seems to be a bit of a threat away from home. It would be lovely to have Oliveira on the bench maybe at Middlesbrough if possible, and if he is going to be in that Portugal squad, he probably needs to show that he's fit by then rather than just the Reading game. That would certainly be helpful if you could have him on the bench just for 15 minutes just to go and give it a go, but equally you don't want to risk this groin problem, do you, because it's troubled him for a little while now. So otherwise I think I'd rather see Marley Watkins through the middle, to be honest. I mean, out wide he was nowhere near as effective as he was at Brentford on Tuesday, was he? So I think I'd perhaps look at having Wildskut back. He played for Borough, didn't he? So I guess he'd be up for that one. Maybe him out on the right and Watkins either in the 10 role if Rančić and Wes have got a bit of a blow, or on the bench to sort of make that impact and relieve Jerome, because that's going to be a tough night for him.
It is indeed. I mean, I thought it was interesting that Harrison Reed played so that Norwich would have a little bit more dynamism going forward. I mean, it didn't quite work out like that, but it was nice thinking anyway, at least.
Well, I asked Daniel about that and he said, yeah, it's straightforward as that. We've got two tough away games next week. I wanted to keep Alex Tetti for that. I wanted to take a few more risks with the Bulls going forward. And he thought that Harrison Reed was the better option for that. And yeah, I mean, you could see him and Tribal linked up quite nicely at times, didn't they? I thought Tom Tribal was good again. It's funny how someone can so quickly become pretty much the first name on the team sheet. I mean, obviously, Closer and Zimmer Zimmerman are up there at the moment. Angus Gunn, 4 clean sheets. So there are positives, despite it being another 0-0 draw. It's not like Daniel Farker was sat there down in the dumps and upset with things. There's enough positive to keep everyone going. It's just would have been nice to get a goal.
Yeah, I don't know if all fans feel that, but I agree with you, just for the record. I wonder if Josh Murphy might get a little break maybe coming up this week. Cheers, Dave. Thank you very much. And we'll see what we get at Borough, won't we?
We certainly will. It's going to be a long journey.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah.